Perhaps musicophilia is a form of biophilia, since music itself feels almost like a living thing. Given the obvious similarities between music and language, it is not surprising that there has been a running debate for more than 200 years as to whether they evolved in tandem or independently, and if the latter, which came first. Darwin speculated that musical tones and rhythms were used by our half-human ancestors during the season of courtship, when animals of all kinds are excited not only by love, but by strong passions of jealousy, rivalry, and triumph, and that speech arose, secondarily, from this primal music. His contemporary Herbert Spencer held the opposite view, conceiving that music arose from the cadences of emotional speech. Rousseau, a composer no less than a writer, felt that both had emerged together as a sing-song speech and only later diverged. William James saw music as an accidental genesis, a pure incident of having a hearing organ. Steven Pinker, in our own time, has expressed himself even more forcibly. What benefit could there be, he asks, echoing the overlords, to diverting time and energy to making plinking noises? As far as biological cause and effect are concerned, music is useless. It could vanish from our species, and the rest of our lifestyle would be virtually unchanged. There is, nonetheless, much evidence that humans have a music instinct, no less than a language instinct, however this evolved. We humans are a musical species no less than a linguistic one. This takes many different forms. All of us, with very few exceptions, can perceive music, perceive tones, timbre, pitch intervals, melodic contours, harmony, and, perhaps most elementally, rhythm. We integrate all of these and construct music in our minds, using many different parts of the brain. And to this largely unconscious structural appreciation of music is added an often intense and profound emotional reaction to music. The inexpressible depth of music, Schopenhauer wrote, so easy to understand, and yet so inexplicable, is due to the fact that it reproduces all the emotions of our innermost being, but entirely without reality and remote from its pain. Music expresses only the quintessence of life and of its events, never these themselves. Listening to music is not just auditory and emotional, it is motoric as well. We listen to music with our muscles, as Nietzsche wrote. We keep time to music, involuntarily, even if we are not consciously attending to it, and our faces and postures mirror the narrative of the melody and the thoughts and feelings it provokes. Much that occurs during the perception of music can also occur when music is played in the mind. The imagining of music, even in relatively non-musical people, tends to be remarkably faithful not only to the tune and feeling of the original, but to its pitch and tempo. Underlying this is the extraordinary tenacity of musical memory, so that much of what is heard during one's early years may be engraved on the brain for the rest of one's life.